Philippians in chapter 2. We saw it yesterday, how the Apostle Paul told us to look at the attitude Jesus had, who humbled himself and became a servant, and who did not seek his own. If he sought his own, he would have never left heaven. He left heaven because he wanted others to have what he had. And he was willing to pay any price that others may have what he had. That's the meaning of Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Many of you who are sitting here, elders and others who are very eager to build the church in your locality, let me ask you a plain, straight question. Are you willing to pay any price to build the church? Whatever God asks of you. I mean, only if God asks of you. Supposing God were to tell you, sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Would you do it? Is there a limit to how much you'll obey God, thus far and no further? That's why you find in your life also, God also says to you, thus far and no further. I won't lead you any further. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you got to sell all that you have. I haven't sold all that I have. Many years ago, once I did it, when God told me to do it. But not today. But my point is there anything that God, that some area in your life where you will not obey if God tells you to do it? Philippians 2, Jesus was willing to give up everything to build the church. We want to build the church, not paying the price that Jesus paid. And we find we have all types of problems in our church. Naturally. Christ gave himself, totally, to give up everything because he loved the Father so much. And when Paul was concerned about the church in Philippi, to which he was writing, and he says, I want to send somebody to encourage you fellows, to build you up. He looks around at all his co-workers. He's not looking around at believers in the church. He's looking at his co-workers. Whom can I send to help these people? And he says in chapter 2, verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Now, Timothy was not the oldest of Paul's co-workers. He was much younger than Paul. And there were other co-workers of Paul who were much older than Timothy. Why didn't Paul send one of the more senior, older co-workers? He says, because I don't have anybody else. Listen to that word. I don't have a single one of my co-workers who's got the spirit of Timothy. First of all, he will genuinely be concerned about your welfare, willing to deny himself any extent to seek your good. And secondly, he seeks the interests of Christ. All of them, they all seek after their own interests. They will serve the Lord when it's convenient. They will serve the Lord if it does not disturb their own plans. They will serve the Lord after they have made their own plans for themselves and as an extra serve the Lord. And they don't seek the plans of Christ Jesus. They don't seek the things of Christ. This is a law of God that he gives in the measure in which we have given. That's a law. We need to understand God's laws here. See what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 he said, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And here's the law. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you in return. And if you're really getting a teaspoon of grace from God, the probability is that you only give a teaspoon of your life to God. The best part of your life you keep for other purposes. You got your own plans, and you're not committed totally to God's work. See, many people, their secular job is more important to them than the work of God. So they will take very active part in a particular church in one place, but when they find better prospects somewhere else for a secular job, or they get transferred, they ditch everything and go there and say, okay, I can do something for the Lord there. Not because the Lord led them there, because there are more prospects for money and job and promotion there. I believe God will use them. He'll use them with a teaspoon of grace. I'm not saying God gives them leprosy or sends them to hell, but they'll be tremendous. They'll accomplish 1% of what God wanted to accomplish through them in their lives, and they'll discover it when they go and stand before the Lord in eternity. And they look at another person who sacrifices everything secular, who will refuse a promotion because he's committed to a church here, who will not go there even though he can get 5 times the salary there because he's committed to a church here, and I'll see that God honors him. Are you like that? Paul's co-workers, I mean, I was challenged when I read that passage. Paul's co-workers were seeking their own. I mean, if you got into Paul's team, that itself would have made you felt, boy, I'm somebody. Paul selected me. He didn't select everybody. He once said, John Mark is not fit to be in my team. I don't want him. It was a tremendous honor if Paul selected you to be on his team. And then in his team, some people who started out very well, over a period of time, they began to seek their own. And everything was according to their convenience. God's work was not first. Their own secular job was first. I'm not saying God will not use you. He'll use you about 1% of what He could have used you if His work was supreme. I don't know whether you see the insult there is when we treat God like that. Supposing you invite a guest to your house and say, come for a cup of tea. And you have only one cup there. And that's for me. And I drink up 80% of that cup and give my guests what's left in that cup. Here's something for you. I invited you for tea, right? You wouldn't do that to a beggar, but we do it to God. Many believers that I know do it to God. Their own work and interest and life and family is number one. 80-90% is drunk. We give the dregs, 10% to God. I'd like to do something for you, Lord. You died for me. Can I do something for you? Here are the dregs of my life. I've made my own plans. I've got a lot of things to do, but here are the dregs of my life, dregs of my time, dregs of my energy. Do you ever think that God would use you in the same measure as another man who has given 100% to God? No. You will excuse yourself saying, ah, but he's got a gift God's given him. God would have given it to you, but he doesn't give it to you because He gives according to the measure in which you give. We try and excuse ourselves saying, oh, God hasn't given me that gift. Why didn't He give it to you? Because you gave a teaspoon to Him, He gave a teaspoon to you. In the same measure in which you give, you will get. It's a law. You need to understand God's ways. There's no partiality with God. If you're totally committed, He'll be totally committed to you. Look at the example of Jesus. John 17. This has been a great verse for me. It was a secret of Jesus' life. Why the Father would commit Himself so totally to Him. John 17 and verse 10. In His prayer to the Father, He said, all things that are mine are yours. And therefore, all things that are yours are mine. Every single thing in Jesus' life, His time, His energy, His health, His money, His everything, His relationships, was God's. He was willing to turn around to His own mother and say, don't interfere with my ministry. How many of you will turn around to your mother and father and say, don't interfere with my ministry? He said that to His mother in John chapter 2. Oh, we want to please people. Well, no wonder. You get only a teaspoon from God. For Jesus, His Father was everything. All that I have, I don't care whom I offend, all that I have, Father, is yours. And the father said, really? Well, in that case, all that I have is yours too.